It's February, day 21. And today's question is, if you were forced to spend the rest of your life in a library, museum, or a zoo, which would you choose and why? Well, anyone who knows me can probably guess what my answer will be. It's a museum, and specifically, Bletchley Park. And why? For one really simple reason, because I'm hoping in this strange slip of time where you have to spend the rest of your life in this museum, time has stood still. So it would mean no more of the Bletchley Park veterans would pass away, and I'd be able to carry on recording more and more of them so I could share their stories. Because that's been the best thing for me, being involved with Bletchley Park. It's getting to meet those veterans and hear their stories and be able to share them with people around the world. So instead of me yammering on, I'd just play a few selections, little snippets from a bunch of veterans that I've recorded. It's just a few that came to mind of, oh, that was a really nice comment or quote. Because we've recorded something like 40 of them. So they're mainly ones that I've either interviewed or I've been sat there and recorded them. And they're the important people. So over to the veterans.
It's not very often that we hear the story about the Y stations.
We fed Bletchley Park with coded messages. There would have been no reason for Bletchley Park to be here without these messages that we intercepted. And they were all in code, German coded messages. And I used to wonder whether they were any good because, of course, you had to take these messages down through terrible interference and you wouldn't always get a complete message. They were always came over in blocks of five letters, five Morse code letters, and you may not have got them all. And I used to think, what good is this? But we had stations all over the country. So say I got two letters out of a group of five, somebody else might have picked up the other three. So when it came back to Bletchley Park, they had to sort all this sort of rubbish out and get it into some sort of order and then start decoding.
Thank you so much for your time. And it's nice to get a story from someone from the Y stations that were another integral part of the story of Bletchley Park. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
You wouldn't have been allowed in one of the huts if
no,
you didn't
I
work
wasn't,
in there,
because, and that was the maddening thing. I had a friend who worked in here. She was a wren. And I used to wait for her here outside lunchtime. And I was not allowed in, come hell or high water. Especially high water. I think it's beginning to rain. Shall we shelter?
Yes.
Sure. Now, I mean, just imagine working in here. It would have been very depressing working in here, wouldn't it?
I think you probably did better than your friend, Betty, working
in the mansion. Oh, I did. I mean, it was jammy for me. Absolutely wonderful. The only thing was that we had open wood fires and they had central heating here. But we didn't. And very often in the middle of the night, the fire would go out and it wouldn't be relit.
And what was the best to work in? Was it the mansion, was it Block F, or was it the Pentagon?
Well, without being disloyal to my country, the Pentagon. I mean, obviously, it was much more modern.
It was literally being built, wasn't it? Or just
oh, it had
built?
Just finished. It had been up a few months, I think.
You were one of the first people in there.
No, I don't think so. No, I think it was pretty well established by the time I got... I didn't go till 45, you see.
I think they probably got it up and running, ready for you.
Me and 32,000 other people.
You didn't bother to talk about it because nobody after the war was going to believe you because this place didn't exist. Didn't exist for her husband. No. And if he didn't know, there was no point. My husband only told the grandchildren over in Australia about 6 years ago. He was D-Day tank landing craft, and somebody came in and happened to mention you were in the Navy, and he said, yes, what were you doing? So he told them. But he said, showed the grandchildren, they were there. That's two boys and one girl. And they said, you really want to know what your grandma was doing? And they said, yes, she was in the Wrens and she was probably a cook or somebody. And my husband said, I'll tell you what she was doing. Kids couldn't believe it, so I went up a notch.
Dot, you have a wonderful story to tell.
Not
Thank
really,
so
it's
much.
The same
you
as
do.
Other people. Everybody had their own story. My husband would wear his medals on Armistice Day. We would hug each other and say, we were the lucky ones, we came back. A load of our boys didn't come back. So this is what was important then. It would have been lovely to have seen our boys come back to Wimpy's because they kept our jobs open for us. And it would have been lovely to have all sat down in the same office and seen the same boys there. They weren't home. Yeah. This is what matters. Yeah.
This is my daughter, and she looks after me very
well. Are you proud of your mum?
Oh, very proud. Very proud, yes. Yes, she's done a grand job, and she's kept it going nicely. Well done.
And you have, and I think I'll speak for everyone, just amazing that you're still able to help bring these stories alive, and you're still willing to bring the stories alive and tell people what you did and what happened, because this is the most important thing, I think, to a lot of our listeners especially, is to hear these first-hand accounts of what happened.
Well, that's why I wrote my books, because I got the actual Wrens who were working here to say what they did, because we didn't know what each other did. So it was a case of getting them to tell their stories in my book, so that's what I've done.
And when you say books, you actually mean books as well. You don't mean War II, do you?
No, I have actually done 6 books, but only 3 of them are about wartime. And others are what's happened to us afterwards when we went to live in Malaya, when there was a war on there, too. Mm. And then we had a period in the South Pacific and worked there for a couple of years. So we got around.
And your husband, when you met him first in Colombo, was he in intelligence as well?
Yes. He had done the Japanese course in London, and I think they were sent out there and going to be sent into occupied territory to send back signals. Luckily, when they got out there, the admiral didn't know why they came out. And he didn't know quite what to do with them, so he put them into HMS Anderson, which was the forward base.
And luckily for you, you got to meet him.
Yes, that's right, yes. So that was very nice, yes, we had a very romantic time.
Did he know what you'd been doing?
He never asked me what I had done in Bletchley Park, and I didn't ask him any further about it. He just told me that he had learnt the Japanese and they were sent out there. And when they got there, the admiral didn't know what they were supposed to be doing.
So did he ever ask you, did you ever tell your husband what you'd done here?
Yes, because I wrote the books, and so he did know.
Was it a sit him down at the kitchen table and say, I've got a secret to tell you?
No. Came up bit by bit.
Gwendolyn, that's so kind of you to share your time with us for this interview, and I just want to thank you for your service. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm so glad to know that people are still interested.
What I did say to that sweet duchess, who I thought was so good at her job and so charming, and I said, well, don't forget that we were lucky enough to be here at the right time, in the right place. We were able to do what we did because of that. It may be the most important thing that any of us ever done in our lives. We didn't realise it at the time, but we do now.
Well, it's been absolutely wonderful to meet you, and thank you for your service.
That's all right. I always enjoy talking.
Oh, that's right. I remember I used to come out to these loos.
Did you?
That's right, yeah.
Well, then you were in Hut 8.
Yeah.
You were in there.
I remember. That's right. You used to have to cross in the wet when you wanted to go. That's right, yeah.
Fantastic.
That's where I was, yeah. I wouldn't have found that on my own, so thank you. Because they're all... I couldn't even remember the hut number I was in, you know.
No,
so,
thank you for sharing the story with us.
Oh, no, thank you. But I knew that I was really part of the Enigma thing. I knew I was a part of it.
Well, no, you were. It was all part of the same... Yeah. A lot of people describe it as being a cog in the machine.
Yeah.
And you were. You were all... everyone was equally as important.
I thought when I came here, I knew it was all Wrens. And I thought, well, I'll go along just because I worked there. But I didn't think our contribution meant much. I thought it was just... banging some RAF people in there because there was, somewhere...
Every contribution here was worth it.
So the RAF took a lead on the communication side, so getting the messages in and out.
Yeah, that's right,
Without Bletchley Park couldn't have functioned because the messages wouldn't have come in
and because
with the encrypted signals and the messages wouldn't have gone out with the intelligence.
No.
I never expected, of course, I should say, when I was here... that there would be an open university in Milton Keynes.
Well, when you were here, it was a tiny village, wasn't it?
It was a tiny village. I did know Newport Pagnell very well, and various bits and pieces of what has become Milton Keynes complex. But I find that when I go round the district now, places come to my mind. And I do remember we didn't have to do much military work when I was at Bletchley, but I do remember very clearly on one or two marches seeing all the blackthorn out in all its beauty, and I'd never seen any blackthorn in the north of England where I was born. So that even the landscape round Bletchley, with about enormous numbers of brick chimneys, really was a change for me.
Thank you so much.
Well, glad to do
it. Some lovely memories there as
yes.
well. Yes. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, good
thank
to
you for your service.
So then we had to change again to something else, and we became what were known as pay writers, which meant you worked in a pay office. And I worked in one at Chatham, which was set up to deal with men being demobbed, because every naval rating had a home port.
Yes.
And to be demobbed, they all came back to their home port. So all their papers, their pay, everything came back to us, and we had to sort of sort it out, and they got their demob suits from one thing and another, and then walked out of the gate.
You and your friends must have been very popular. Finally getting those men out of service.
Well, you didn't notice it, but maybe we were.
So you were doing really interesting work then?
Well, I suppose I was. You know, it was Air Force work. I was in the Air Force section, and we were doing these, the departure and the arrival in their various destinations, all these bombers and things from North Africa, intercepting them.
I mean, that was absolutely vital yeah. in 1941.
It was terribly exciting sometimes. I mean, the feeling in the office when you knew you were ahead of the timetable and they hadn't yet taken off, and you were able to get the message through to night fighters, and then they'd go up and shoot them down, and then you know, there was a wonderful feeling of triumph. I never thought there the poor men were being killed, but still, there we are.
No, but it's the fact that in you doing that,
yeah.
you've probably saved, you know,
I know.
Countless
yes,
lives
yeah.
if they were going
yeah.
to bomb a convoy on its way to
yes.
Malta. I mean,
yeah.
for example, my stepdad might have been on one of those ships.
Really?
He was on HMS Victoria. He was Fleet Air Arm.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So he might have helped save him.
He probably did.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your service.
That's sweet.
No, it's one of the nice connections that
yeah.
me personally I have
yes,
for here
yeah.
is that a lot of the work here, Mick did 18 convoy duties. And I've no doubt at some point something here
probably did special for the naval section.
And do you look back in general that it was fun?
I look back that it was fun, and I look back at the fact that whatever other nonsense I'd made, I did once do something valuable for my country.
Your service was invaluable, and
yes.
thank you so much for your service.
Well, you know, it was lucky that we came to such an unusual and really rather sparkly place, even though we weren't allowed to see much of it. It was fun being here. The vibes were very good.